والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
That man was Muhammad, the best of creation.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a new program, live program of Correct Your Citation. In the beginning, I praise Allah the Almighty, send the best peace and salutation upon His most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also I'd like to welcome you all to the program, as well as our guests here in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and give a special welcome to our new guest, Mustafa, who's both Indian and Egyptian. Meanwhile, he's a medical student. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum, Shindi and Ahmed. How are you?
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, we'll begin in this episode with the explaining the meaning of a few verses that precede the story of Musa alayhi salam with his servant and Al-Khidr. Today's verse is verse number 56. This is what we're going to begin with. Allah the Almighty said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ اتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا. And I would like to read it again with prolonging al-mad al-munfasil, the separate mad for as we agreed. So I will say, واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا. The meaning of this verse, first folded it, our meaning, Allah the Almighty says, and we send not the messengers except as givers of glad tidings and warners. So ma is istithna. We do not send them except for this reason. That is an exclusive task for which we have sent the messengers. But those who disbelieve dispute with false argument in order to refute the truth thereby. And they treat my revelations and that which was sent to them and the warnings which we released to them as jest and mockery. In the previous episode, we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispraises false argument and arguing in order to refute the truth with falsehood, with no foundations. And we'll give examples to that. This verse refers to a very important fact, which is the main task of the prophets. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. That is why Allah sent the messengers, and it is the same task that the dua and the preachers who call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have inherited from the prophets. Just to deliver the message of Allah, مَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. The messenger, whether Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any prophet before him or any preacher, owes nothing but to deliver. And the guidance is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ayah says that the mission of the messengers is in order to give warnings and glad tidings. And this is the main theme of the methodology of da'wah in Islam. And Islam is not just the religion of Muhammad, rather it is the religion of all the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they have followed the same strategy to give exhortation, targhib, and tarhib, warning. Warn people again is disobeying Allah, not worshipping Him,
committing sins,
believing in other deities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even along with Him, indulging into disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any mean, in any form or shape. So there is targhib and there is tarhib. And basically the second verse of Surah Al-Kahf says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this book with the truth. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abidihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu iwaja. Why? The second verse says qayyima. Why? لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا. Why did Allah send down the Quran and all the previous books
to guide people?
لِيُنذَرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ, to warn people against disobeying Allah, against worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a severe warning of a severe torment that Allah has prepared for the sinners and for the disbelievers. And also in order to give glad tidings, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the believers, أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا, that Allah has prepared for them a glad tiding, a goodly reward, which is paradise. Some people, and I mentioned that before, hate to hear about punishment, hate to hear about the fire of hell, hate to speak about it, but it's a fact. And that's why some non-Muslims went astray through believing that there is no hell, there is no punishment, because God is all forgiving and He's the most merciful. That's a fact. But God sacrificed His Son for our sins. So no matter what you do, you will be saved. And just for loving Jesus, for instance, you shall receive salvation on the Day of Judgment. Does it make sense? That the thieves, the robbers, the murderers, the criminals can just get away simply because they love Jesus? Is it just a word? Obviously not. So the Quran emphasizes the fact that in order to be saved, you have to do the following. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have to believe and prove this belief through doing good righteous deeds. Then, the following verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those who rejected the truth, who argued with falsehood, who denied the message of all the messengers, the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them, and describing them as follows. He says,
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا وَإِنْ تَدَعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا.
And the meaning of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what it means, and who does more wrong than he, than whom? Who is reminded of the verses of his Lord, but turns away from them, forgetting what deeds his hands have sent forth. So he denies the warnings and the glad tidings of the most merciful. He denies what Allah sent with the messengers in order to inform people with. Truly, we have set veils over their hearts. As a result of their initiative, they took the initiative. They decided not to believe. They decided to reject the truth. So accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast a veil or a screen on their hearts, because He have learned that those people will never believe. So He increased their going astray by casting a veil over their hearts, lest they should understand this Qur'an. Not only that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their ears deaf. So in their ears, deafness. And the deafness here is not physical. Meaning, they could hear. They could hear everything very well. They could even hear the Qur'an, the warnings and the exhortations of the messengers. But what is the benefit of hearing and not understanding? What is the benefit of hearing what you say, but not complying? So the deafness here is spiritual, is not physical though. And if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is not addressing any simple preacher. No, He's addressing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most honorable messenger ever, saying that if you call them to guidance, even then they will never be guided, no matter what you try. So that sends us another signal that your message is just to deliver. And guidance is in Allah's hands. Somebody might argue this point and say, well, if this is the case and it is Allah, the Almighty, who cast a veil on their hearts, and made them deaf. They could not hear, in the meaning that they could not, they will not understand, and accordingly they will not respond. So it is not their fault. True or false?
False.
Why not? Why is it false?
Because Allah said that veil in them heart, because they refused to believe in the Prophet from the beginning.
So basically, Mustafa, that Allah the Almighty delivered the message and has informed with both ways. Bishara and Nidara, glad tidings and warning. Okay, so they decided to reject the truth. And they argued in order to refute the truth with falsehood. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite knowledge found that those guys will never be guided. And only Allah can decide that. It's not up to any of us. We have seen people whom we have judged as the most awful people, the worst criminals. And they came to guidance because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to guide them. But they have a term to be guided during this time. For instance, we said before, Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Jahl were the most two stern people against Islam. They have heard Islam and Muslims the most. And once the Prophet, peace be upon him, invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh Allah, support Islam and Muslims with either one of them. Because he did not know which one of them could be rightly guided. And as a matter of fact, neither the Prophet nor the companions expected that Umar ibn Khattab one day would be rightly guided. Because we have heard in the narrations before that some of the companions said to one another, to the point that if Umar's donkey accepted Islam, Umar himself will never accept Islam. But here Umar Khattab becomes one of the most rightly guided people ever. And the Quran was revealed to support his view 3 to 4 times. Yeah. And he became the second caliph. And he became the second in the list of the 10 heaven-bound companions. And the Prophet ﷺ has informed him that while he was paying a visit to heaven, he has seen a beautiful palace. And he informed him that that is your palace in heaven. Yeah. So for us, we're not judgmental. We cannot say to any person, as long as he is alive, that he is accursed or he will be rightly guided. We cannot even own that to our own selves. We should be only dua, not judgmental. But as far as those whom chose not to be rightly guided, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for instance, in Surah Al-Layl, listen to this beautiful balance in these two verses. He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. What will happen to him? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Whenever somebody is given in a charity, is trying to comply, is trying to respond to the truth, to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this servant took the initiative and he showed some willingness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what? Will facilitate furthermore and will make his way easy towards al-yusra, which is paradise. And as far as for him, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, stingy, and he feels himself self-sufficient, I made it all by myself, and he does not give any credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِيلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, and furthermore, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, he does not believe in the hereafter, he does not believe in heaven, in paradise, in hellfire. For him, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَ, we will definitely make his way easy towards
hellfire.
Why? Because he chose that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not wrong one. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. Allah does not wrong no one. It is the people's choice. So as far as humans, we were given the free choice and the free will with regards to what? With regards to choosing guidance, with regards to choosing our actions, whether to do or not to do, to believe or not to believe. And accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable concerning our choice. But with regards to birth, we have no choice. Death, we have no choice. Calamities, we have no choice. Provisions, we have no choice. But our choice is only concerning our actions and whether we choose to be rightly guided or not. I want to take the next verse before the break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ لَوْ يُؤَاخِذُهُمْ بِمَا كَسَبُوا لَعَجَّلَ لَهُمُ الْعَذَابِ بَلْ لَهُمْ مَوْعِدٌ لَنْ يَجِدُوا مِن دُونِهِ مَوْئِلًا. With the treatment of the disbelievers and the sinners to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the messages of the messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meets all of that with vast forgiveness, great mercy. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is a beautiful trait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful. His mercy covers the believers as well as the disbelievers. He gives them a respite in this life. He still provides for them. He still gives them health. He still gives them wealth according to their activities and how much hard work they do in this life. But once their term is over and they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only those who believe will be eligible for His infinite mercy, which is Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. So His mercy, which covers everyone in this life, covers believers and disbelievers as well. Or otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would deprive those who disbelieve from even a sip of water, or cause them to starve and to suffer hunger until they die. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat them likewise. Rather, He gives them a respite. And your Lord is most forgiving, owner of mercy. Were He to call them to account for what they have earned, then surely He would have hastened their punishment. But they have their appointed time beyond which they will find no escape. Many people ask this question. And I would say this is a very, very frequently asked question. They say, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves the oppressors without an immediate punishment? How many times this question crosses your mind? I have been asked this question repeatedly. How come Allah leaves the oppressed ones without support? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the end of Surah Ali Imran, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. Do not be deceived by the pleasure and the joy, by the delight of the disbelievers, by their earning, by their turning right and left in this life, and their disposal freely in this life. Because it is just for a fixed term. Yeah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, He would have hastened their torment for them. He would have seized them with His punishment. But Allah gives them a respite in order to give them all the benefits of doubt. And whenever it is due, then He seizes them and no one can ever save them. Mata'un qaleel. This delight in this life is very short and brief. 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Whenever we hear about somebody who lived to 100 years, we celebrate, we say that is Mu'ammar. Is what?
Guinness will record.
Exactly. But in reality, what's after 100 years? Ma'wahum jahannam wa bi'sa al-mihad. Fire of hell is their eternal abode. And how evil is their place of rest. Wal-iyadu billah. I would kindly request the director to extend one more minute so that I would finish this before the break. The last verse that precedes the story of Moses and Al-Khidr. That is the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming and proving His statement that He's only given the wrongdoers and the evildoers and the disbelievers, He's just given them a respite. He does not hasten the punishment because this is His tradition in this life. And those towns which we destroyed when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction. What happened to the people of Prophet Hud, Ad, the people of Prophet Saleh, Thamud, the people of Prophet Nuh? Even though they lived with him, he continuously gave them da'wah for 950 years. But by the end of the term, what happened? They were destroyed. And only those who believed have been saved, yes, and they were eligible for Allah's mercy and salvation on the Day of Judgment. So this is a very clear message to the disbelievers, to the oppressors, that the kind of life which you're living in this life is not going to be eternal, nor will you find a similar one in the hereafter. Everyone shall be recompensed and receive a proper recompense according to their deeds and what their hands have earned in this life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to what's best. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. A short break and we'll be back inshallah very soon. Stay tuned.
Recite it every day and do read it loud.
Anyone who chooses other than Islam as a religion, as a way, it won't be accepted from him. This Quran has to be understood by the way the companions of Rasulullah understood the Quran. We disconnect ourselves from the actions of certain Muslims who oppress people and kill people unjustly.
Recite it every day and do read it loud.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back. By the grace of Allah, we have covered a great deal of tajweed rules. And we're ready to wrap up the subject of al-mudud with this type of al-mad al-far'i, the secondary mad, which is al-mad al-lazim. It is due to having a sukun after any of the mad letters. We've studied before different types of al-mad al-far'i. Like last time we covered al-mad al-arid al-sukun, which is due to the presented sukun. So the sukun in the previous session was not permanent, nor was it fixed. It is totally the opposite in this session. We're talking about al-mad due to an original sukun. So let's learn what do we mean with al-mad al-lazim or the compulsory mad. Follow me here on the screen. Al-mad al-lazim, it is a mad that takes place when an original sukun comes after a mad letter. Well, we had the same thing in the previous session, but it was arid, presented. It happens only when we stop at the word. Yeah. But in this case, I said an original sukun. Let's learn what does it mean to have an original sukun. And that could happen in a word or even in a letter. The original sukun means the sukun is a part of the original makeup of the word. And it is present when continuing the reading or even when we stop upon it. I also said that that could take place in a word or in a letter. Why? Because the letter also spills into letters. Mm-hmm. For example, the first word is Al-Haqqah. Look at this word. What is the mad letter, Ahmed?
Al-Alf.
The Alif.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it is followed by what, Muhammad?
Qaf.
Qaf. What kind of vowel is on the Qaf?
Sukun.
Look at it again. I said Al-Haqqah. There is
فتحة.
A shadda and fatha. So the original vowel here is
fatha
or zabar, right? Well, I said in the case of al-mad al-lazim, we would have a permanent original sukun, right? Yeah. So what is the sukun then?
The letter qaf is contains of two letters.
Exactly. Look at this. The letter qaf, which has a shadda and fatha, Mustafa, consists of two letters of the same type. The first one of them is a qaf that is sakina, And the second is a qaf that has a vowel which is accompanying the shadda. And these two letters were merged together in a state of idgham instead of writing two letters.
Yes.
Because basically we're not going to pronounce them as two. The first one with the sukun would be merged into the second one, mm-hmm. and we will emphasize the second one with the shadda. That is the purpose of the shadda. So when we come to apply the rule, we'll apply autopsy, an anatomy of the word. And we look at the qaf that it has two qafs. The first one is a permanent sakin qaf, and it is following a mad letter, so that is mad lazim. And I said it could take place in a word or in a letter, right? The letter Sad, which is the very first verse of Surah Sad, a whole chapter which is called Sad. Mm-hmm. How do we read it? We say, Sad, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do we spell it? We say Sad, Alif,
Dal,
and Dal. So basically, there is a mad letter in the middle, which is the Alif, mm-hmm. second, preceded by Fatha, and it is followed by a second letter,
which is Dal,
which is a permanent second letter, an original sukun. So in this condition, we have to prolong it as mad lazim, and we will learn how long and how many counts do we prolong in mad lazim. There are a few notes which are very important in our class that we have to take care of them first. The sukun and the mad letter should exist in the same word. So we will not apply this rule. If we have a mad letter followed by an original sukun in another word, such as the first verse of Surah Ash-Shams, التكوير. الله تعالى says, إذا الشمس كورت. الشمس begins with a second letter.
Yes.
This همزة القطع, همزة الوصل. The alif here is a sakina, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Since it is following the mad letter, which is the alif in the word إذا, that's a mad letter. But it is not in the same word. So we will skip the previous rule and will not apply it here. Rather, that will be a natural mad, and we'll say, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ without mad lazim.
Okay.
The next example is in Surah Al-A'raf. The verse says, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. Right?
The same case.
وَقَالُوا, there is a mad letter. Where? Which letter is it?
Alif.
Alif.
Nope.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Alif. Right?
Yes.
The alif here is the alif, which is present in the plural.
Mm-hmm.
But the mad letter is the letter wow, which is second and preceded by?
Dhamma.
The Dhamma, which is the corresponding vowel of the?
The wow.
The wow. Do you follow me, Mustafa?
Mm.
Okay. So we have a mad letter followed by a sakin, but this sakin is not original. So we cannot apply al-mad al-lazim here. We skip this one. Okay, next. Why do we do a mad al-lazim in this condition? Because the mad letter and the sukun in one word, and this sukun will never be avoided. I said it's an original sukun. So whether we continue the recitation, or whether we stop at it, we apply sukun on the letter, such as in the word sad, which mm-hmm. is actually one letter, spills into three letters when we come to pronounce it. The mad should be applied because there are two sukuns. The mad letter is a second letter by nature, and followed by an original sukun, so we've got a problem here. Two second letters following one another, it is difficult to pronounce one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we stretch out the mad letter, into six counts, six vowels, in order to distinguish the first letter from the second letter.
Mm-hmm.
That is the purpose of applying al-mad al-lazim due to following the mad letter with an original sukun. I hope this is clear. The compulsory mad should be lengthened. How many?
Six.
Six counts. Six. Al-mad al-lazim takes place in a word or
a
letter that spills into letters that form a word. If it happens in a whole word such as al-haqqah or وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. We call this kind of mad kalimi. But if al-mad al-lazim takes place in
a letter
such as صاد, we call it harfi. Harf means a letter. So harfi, because we ascribe the nature of this mad into its nature, because it is in one letter. And each one will depend on the following letter. Does it have just mere sukun or a shadda? So if it is followed by shadda, in this case we call it muthaqqal,
yes,
or heavy. And if it is just a simple original sukun, then it will be
مخفف,
which is light.
Light.
In Arabic they say بالمثال يتضح المقال. Giving examples, we'll make this long story short and we'll explain in details. And we will take in this episode just one out of the four divisions of المد
اللازم.
The first compulsory heavy مد in one word. So we call it مد
لازم.
كلمي مثقل. لازم because we must prolong it up
six,
to
six.
Kalimi because it takes place in
one word.
A word.
Yes.
The mad and the second letter of the original sukun in the same word.
Yes.
Muthaqqal because the mad letter is followed by
shadda.
The shadda. Perfect. So when an original sukun, the letter which has a shadda on it, comes after a mad letter in
one
the word. And the shadda indicates that there are two letters of the same type. The first of them is with a sukun, while the second has a vowel. It's a vowel letter, which is accompanying the shadda. The vowel will be whether on top or on the bottom of the shadda. On top if it is a fatha or dhamma, on the bottom if it is
kasra.
A kasra. And the two letters are merged into
one
each other, like the case of the qaf of al-haqa, or the lam in the case of وَلَضَّالِّينَ. And now let's study some examples. And it is called كَلِمِي due to the fact that the mad letter
is in the
sukun
happened
to be
word.
In one word. Examples, which will really explain this whole issue. We studied the first example and we learned that the qaf consists of two qafs. The first is sakina, and the second is vowel with fatha.
Yes.
So how do we say it? Ahmed, I will say الحاقة. How many counts?
Six
harakat. The next is الطمة, and it exists in سورة النازعات. فإذا جاءت الطمة الكبرى. How do you say الطمة, right? The next is الصاخة, and that is in سورة
عبس.
أتحاجوني. Okay, so whenever we meet a mad lazim that fits the criterions and the conditions which we described, then we have to prolong it six harakat. Remember I said it is lazim because all the reciters have agreed that we must prolong it to six
harakat,
not to five,
not to four.
So there is no difference of opinions in this regard. And it is divided into four divisions. In this episode we study al-mad,
al-lazim,
al-kalimi,
al-muthaqqal
due to the shadda.
Yes.
Let's practice after this short break, inshallah. Please stay tuned and we'll be back inshallah in a little bit.
Recite it every day and do read it loud. Uh-huh.
Anyone who chooses other than Islam as a religion, as a way, it won't be accepted from him. This Quran has to be understood by the way the companions of Rasulullah understood the Quran. We disconnect ourselves from the actions of certain Muslims who oppress people and kill people unjustly.
Recite it every day and do read it loud.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back. A quick reminder of our phone number, 002 area code 02-3855-248, and the number should appear on your screen as well. We'll begin practicing from verse number 70 of Surah Al-Kahf, and that is page 301. We have sister Ambreen, you're live on Correct Your Citation. Go ahead, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, ayah number?
Ayah number 70 of Surah Al-Kahf. That's page number 301. If you're reading in the Mus'haf of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا.
جزاك الله خيرا. Hold on one second. Listen to me saying the word تسألني. I'm going to say it in two ways and I want you to choose which one is better. فَلَا تَسْأَى or فَلَا تَسْأَى. Always the hamza in the Quran is light. So فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي. And make sure when we come to pronounce the ha, it comes from the throat. So it is different than the ha. Its articulation point is way different than the ha. So it is حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ, أُحْدِثَ. Okay? Go ahead and recite this ayah once again, please.
قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا.
Beautiful, mashallah. Continue.
وَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَةِ خَرَقَهَا. قَالَ أَخْرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا.
قَالَ أَخْرَقْتَهَا, أَخْرَقْتَهَا.
قَالَ أَخْرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا شَيْئًا إِمْرًا.
نعم.
قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ.
Remember what we said, the hamza is soft. It is not a, rather it is yeah. A. Remember, whenever you say the word ana, nobody says ana. So it is alam, alam. You just said alam and you said it right. So alam aqul laka, alam aqul laka.
Alam aqul laka. Qala alam aqul innaka lan tastati'a ma'iyya sabra.
Naam.
قَالَ لَتُؤَخِّذْنِي.
Stretch out the lamb a little bit because this is the lamb of negation. So, لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي.
قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِمَا نَسِيتُ وَلَا تُرْهِكْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي أُسْرًا.
Okay. Usra.
Usra.
There is a little ikhfa here, right? Fantalaqa. Because the noon is sakina is followed by ta. So that's ikhfa haqiqi. Fantalaqa.
Fantalaqa. حتى إذا لقي غلاما فقتله وقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية
جزاكم الله خيرا. I think we lost sister Ambreen. Okay, I hope you're following me now. You can raise the volume in your TV set and listen to this. Why do we say فَقَاتَلَهُ? Why? It's a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens because of what? Because if we're not paying attention, so the some letters will overcome others. Mm-hmm. The qaf is a heavy letter. One of حروف الاستعلاء, حروف التفخيم. And the fa is light, is soft. Very soft.
Yeah.
So in order to pronounce the qaf and to prepare yourself to pronounce it heavy, you mess up with the fa. So you should say, ثَقَى ثَقَى فَقَتَلَهُ فَقَتَلَهُ. Same thing with أَقَتَلْتَ. The Hamza. أَقَتَلْتَ أَقَتَلْتَ. You have to prepare yourself to change from a position to another. And that is the meaning of to give each and every letter حَقَّهُ
وَمُسْتَحَقَّهُ.
Muhammad from Egypt. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're live and correct your citation.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Would you please read from verse number 74?
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Fantalaqa hatta iza laqiya ghulaman faqatalah. قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
ما شاء الله.
قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
جزاكم الله خيرا محمد. May Allah bless you and your family. MashaAllah, beautiful recitation.
Thank you.
Good practice of the rules as well. I wanted to comment on how Muhammad, MashaAllah, recited this word. أن ينقض فأقامه. If you're not fully aware of the concept of changing the tone and from soft to heavy and back to soft, you would have said it فَأَقَامَهُ. And that's why we're learning not just the rules but also how to pronounce the letters. And inshallah we will have a long series of sessions with regards to the sifat, the traits of the letters. It's going to be very, very interesting. So I really applaud your citation. May Allah bless you and your family. Now with our guests here in the studio, we're going to recite together, beginning from verse 70 of Surah Al-Kahf. And afterward, inshallah, if we have time, we will comment on the ahkam which we meet in the verses which we recite. Mustafa, are you ready? Okay.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا.
قال لئن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا.
فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها.
فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها.
قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا.
قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا.
قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا.
قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا.
قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا.
قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا.
We'll return back to the word ترهقني inshallah after I take Rami from Egypt. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to the program. Go ahead and recite from verse number 75.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا.
In the case of the lam following a nun السكنة, there is إضغام, but this إضغام is a little different. It is without غنة. So you snatch it quickly, you merge the lam into the noon, and you do not pronounce in غنة. So you say, مِن لَدُنْهُ, as you spell it, ميم لام دال.
قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِن لَدُنْهُ.
There is no غنة, remember? Quickly, مِن لَدُنْهُ, مِن لَدُنْهُ.
عُذْرَ. فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا آتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفهما فوجد فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا.
Okay, let's stop with this ayah. Number one, when you said حتى إذا آتيا, there is a big difference between Ataya and Ataya. Mm-hmm. And we explained the difference before when we spoke about Al-Mudud. Yes. Right? Okay. Ataya, the Hamza is original. And it's not a mad letter. Yes. And in this case, the word would mean that they both have come or arrived. Right. Yeah. Ata, and we said Ata Amrullah. Right? Yeah. But if you precede this alif with a mad letter, so in this case, Ataya, it is, as you said, Ataya, and it will mean that gave. They both gave. So Ata means gave in the past tense. Ata means arrived or came already. That's one thing. The second word is, it is not yudifuhuma, because yudifuhuma would mean a totally different meaning. But yudayifuhuma. يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا, changing just the vowel or the shadda would change the meaning accordingly. If you notice, Rami, that in verse number 72, it says, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ, and later on, you will see the verse which says, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ. That's verse 75, which you began with. So there is an addition. That word, لك. That too has a meaning, which inshallah will explain in details when we come to elaborate on the meaning of these verses. Okay? So I want you to read this verse once again if you're still with us online. Verse number 77, remember, the number follows the verse, does not precede it. Now I want you to go back to the previous verse. فَانْطَلَقَ
فَانْطَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ فَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْقَدَّ فَأَقَامَهُ.
Hold on. I don't want you to be frightened when you come to the idgham. When you say jidarai and you get lost, you don't know what to do. No, it's simple. Jidarai yuridu. Basically, we're not going to pronounce the tanween, because the tanween takes the same rules of
a non-sakina.
So we'll drop it because it is followed by ya. So that leads to idgham with ghunna. So we will say with the full mouth, with confidence. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ from the ra to the
from the tanween to the ya.
Yeah. And we drop the tanween. I know that we lost brother Rami, but I'm sure you're following us. So جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَ
ضَ
not dal. Right? ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. And hopefully, inshallah, we'll get to see you very soon next week and leave you in peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah forgive us our sins. May Allah teach us what we don't know and help us to act upon what we have learned. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Brothers and sisters, to increase your iman, read the miracle, recite the Quran, recite it every day and do read it loud. The verses of Quran are all Muslims' pride. This miracle was revealed over a long time span, sent from Allah to an angel, then to a man. That man was Muhammad, the best of creation. We were chosen to be part of his nation. He gave us a message, and that was Islam. So read this miracle, recite the Quran.